preacher, you know.
And so, for y'all to let us come back this quick is pretty nice. This is abnormal. But I really want to tell you, it's a good thing for you. But I just spent 4 months in the bush in Mexico, and I'm still alive. That's a big deal. I cannot detail it for you, but you don't want to hear. No. They've gone up a notch on their crudeness on how to kill people. It's miserable. They're using chainsaws. Can you imagine? Don't imagine. You gotta understand, this is not 10,000 miles from here. This is our neighbor here. And I'm not a person of that believes that they're smart or nothing like that. But what I am is right. I'm not wrong. Jesus is King. I'm not going to bore you with some statistics and some things that are boring like that. I've had to make a few decisions in the last few months that have been very quality. I was telling him that I decided to step toward courage instead of toward safety. Because men's opinion of safety may not be God's. So, sit up, mom. This is Miss Hope. Thank you. We also have lots of years. We're 43. 43 years right now. She is very pleased to have walked with me that long. Good night. And I am also. I really, really have, our work is really growing. There's a lot of people getting saved, brand new converts in these hard areas. Mexico has never been an easy place, but it's way more difficult than it used to be in certain areas. There's been a new light up. I need y'all praying, you intercessors. The road, like my grandkids went home yesterday, and the day before yesterday, the main highway they had to ride on was closed by the bad guys, and 18-wheelers were burning to the ground, and things like that. Firefights are all over the place, and so y'all don't hear about it. And you need to know, you need to pray for Mexico. You need to pray for us. I'm not leaving. Mexico is my home. And I love it there. So that's where I'm staying. It's okay if I'm down here. You all right with that? Okay. I'm going to pull that thing down here. There's a situation come up for me in this faith thing. So move over. I'm going straight into it. I'm not going to waste any time. But there's a story I want to get to that's pretty dynamic. The mercy of God is fabulous.
Yeah.
And you need to hear about it. Big. And because lots of people look at me as courageous and, you know, an odd fella and one of a kind and that's not true. I'm a normal Christian. a normal soldier of the Holy Ghost. And I get to do things that's normal. Let's go to Hebrews. I haven't got off there yet. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm still there. I hope I stay. I don't know how long I'm going to stay. It'll be a minute. It may not, but it might. It already has been. Holy Ghost in fire. Holy Ghost in fire. I need the mercy of God. I need the goodness of God. It says in my Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in the Amplified Version, this is what it says. Now faith is. I'd like you to say that with me. Now faith is. Say it again.
Now
faith is. Say it again.
Now faith is.
Say it again.
Now faith is.
Say it again.
Now faith is.
Say it again.
Now faith is.
I know y'all know the Bakers. I know that. And I go there regular now to their place. I work with them over in Mozambique a lot. We work in different places. Like I was just in Korea with them. Also at their work in Korea. And I was just up in New York. What was that? Just a few days ago, we were up there in their work. And I'm going back in September again with them. So we're working more in proximity. And, you know, it's a blessing to do these things, to be with these people, to now faith is, to be around people of like-mindedness. You know, Miss Heidi was talking to me when we were in Korea. She asked me one question. What do people talk about, like, that do things we do? What do you say to each other? You ever thought about that? She only asked me one question. She came there, I was eating. She sat down there and she goes, how do my people do? Because they're... ministry was the only one I'm allowed to send people to us in a long time. When I was in Mozambique, they asked me if they could send a team over to us, and I said no. I have for the last 4.5 years, because of the war, or what's happened with us. I won't even let you come there without signing a waiver. That you understand that you're stepping into a war zone, and that I'm not responsible for your head. Jesus is. I'm sorry. I can't protect your head. I'm protecting mine. And Ms. Hogan's. And so, and my grandkids. Well, I guess there's a few of us. And so finally I told him, look here, we had this long drawn out meeting about, you know, the probabilities and how we got to, you know, what Therian has to do. The people, I don't want any sightseers. I don't want any glory seekers. I want soldiers to come to me. If you're going to come to me and you want to come there and see what's going on, I need soldiers. I don't need people that are writing resumes or on vacation. Do that somewhere else. And so they did. And they sent me a group of veterans over there. Boy, we had a wild time and went wonderful yay and all that. And so here's what I said to her. This is how you talk to people of faith. She says to me, how do my people do? That was what we talked about. That's all we care about. His integrity. His honor. Hello? And I said, all I said was, there's this lady that works for her real close. I said, ask her. I wouldn't even answer. I said, ask her. That was the whole conversation. What else is there to talk about? Jesus is King.
Amen.
Now, I started talking about the Holy Ghost, and right in the middle of this servant there in Korea, the Spirit of God, I saw God pick this Heidi up, flop her on the ground, upside, put her head in another way, and flop it. And then it went. Do you understand how it went? Good. It meant good. That's what we're going to do, is we're going to go good here. Things are going to go good for us. Now faith is. Now faith is. Now, there's a thing that has come on me since I've seen y'all, which was, October, November sometime. And things are going well for me then. They're going better for me now. Me as a human. You know what I've decided to do? I've decided to run 18 marathons, one every month for a year and a half. And I'm on number 6. I'll be running it in 2 weeks. Yesterday I ran a half marathon. And you see me? I'm in good shape. I'm blessed. You know, I heard her say, why? Because I want to. What other reason is it? My thing to you is, why not? I can't. I've got the Holy Ghost. Live with it. It's bizarre. People say, dude, you're 63 years old. What does that mean? I'm supposed to be an adult like you and be a loser? Hello. Excuse me. What I'm supposed to do is walk like the Holy Ghost. Do impossible things. Do things that no one ever even thought of doing before. I'm training for y'all's Brazos run down here. I went by there the other day on the way home from Webster. I was going back to pick Ms. Hogan up, and I went by there to look at that run. There's a 30-mile run I'm going to do next April. So I'm training. I'm doing a marathon a month for the rest of the week, for a whole another year. I'm going to be successful. I really enjoy aggravating people. Let me tell you what I really like to do, but what I come here to tell you is not that. I want you to know, all of you young people, bring it. Five have been done, 6 will be done in a few days. And out of those 5, 4 of them have been 30 miles or greater. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You people don't understand what life's all about. You listen to something that's awesome. Well, let's look at something else. Let's change the subject. Let's go to Matthew. There's something that got on me now that in this faith thing that I've been in for a long time. But it's talking about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. You remember the Word movement back 25 or 30 years ago, and I got so bright and it's kind of faded away now. Faith movement, Word movement, all those things they called it. But the whole thing is the things they were saying are the truth. What people did with it may have been right or wrong, depending on God's judgment on them. I don't have that. God's the one that will do that. But the Word of God is all powerful. If you're going to walk in faith, you need to have an absolute in your life, which is the Word of God. If you're going to do extraordinary events, which, according to my Bible, Daniel something or another, I think it's 11. Help me out, teachers. Smart people of word. Daniel 11, what? 32, is it? Somebody, would y'all look that up? My son-in-law's not here, my son, so I can't. One of y'all do it, please. Here, I'll pick some young person or something. Do it. I think it's Daniel 11, 32. It says that God's people will be strong and do exploits.
Right.
Is that right or wrong? Did somebody read that yet? You tell me now, I'm having to look it up myself.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it 11? 11 what? I was right. What? Here we go. What does it say God's people will do? Be strong. They won't be the back of the pack. They won't be the front of the litter. They will be strong and do exploit. That's me. I am a son of God. What you're feeling, this aggression you're feeling, is 4 months in a war zone. And I'm not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings, but I am really wanting to rattle your cage. We've got to learn how to be the people of God. And it's got to be constant. It can't be a spurt, a flash pan idea. It must be the entire life of a human. All right. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When Jesus came, say that.
Jesus
came. Say it again.
When Jesus came.
When is faith?
Now.
When Jesus came, when is faith?
Now.
When Jesus came, what is faith?
Now.
Came down from the mountain, great throngs followed him, and behold, a leper came up. See, if you're walking in the Holy Ghost, in the power of the gospel, you're going to draw attention. And people are going to believe that maybe they can receive something from you.
Right.
But if you're like every other shirt at Walmart, you're not different. You're like everything else. You're marketed. But Jesus came down. He's coming.
Yeah.
Now, baby. And a leper came. See, what has happened to me is I've gone closer to too far. When I tell you this story, you're just going to set your Bible down and wait for things to get over with, because you're going to say, this fella has gone way past too far. Because you see, what you've got to understand is, I believe the God of yesterday is the God of today.
Amen.
And the God of today is the God of my tomorrow. And he offered me courage. That means that something radical is in my way, and it takes courage to take the step towards it. That means there's something that I'm not going to appreciate that's in my presence. And the leper came and laid down, prostrated himself, worshiped Jesus. See, it doesn't matter finances, marriage, what evil you have amassed, what sickness that's attached itself to you. You go to Jesus, and you prostrate yourself to him, and you worship him, and he will get his attention. And look what he said to Jesus. If you are willing, see, because he is able. Everybody, even God haters, know God has power. But getting him to use it, is that not the issue? Getting him to let us use it. Isn't that what we're after? It is. It is. And I know how to get you to get some. Go to the war zone and spend a few months. You'll either be dead or you'll have some. I've got something. And I'm very blessed. I'm pleased with the mercy of God. The leper cleanser. And he reached out his hand and touched him and said, what did he say? I am with him. Most of you have been so taught by so many different doctrines and angles of understanding that you can talk yourself out of believing that God is willing to help you. So what I have done is I have boxed myself in with fear, so I have no choice. And I did it on purpose. Because I don't have to. I have been in ministry long enough. I know enough people. I can get on the circuit and just roll through and laugh. And run out the last ever how many years. And have integrity doing it. But I'm a good soldier. I'm a good example. Whatever my rank is, I get told all the time I'm different ranks, and people tell me I'm an apostle. Some say I'm a prophet. Some say I'm an evangelist. Some just say, I don't like you. I don't care what you are. And those are the ones I believe the most.
They're honest.
Jesus said, I am willing. Say that.
I am willing.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are willing.
That you are willing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are willing.
That you are willing.
That you love me.
That you love me.
You, Jesus.
Jesus.
Love me.
Love me.
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 And I don't want to scare you, I don't, but it's probably going to happen. This is the big deal stuff. And I'm going to tell you flat out how it happened. I'll probably curb it just a little. A little. It needs to be. I want to tell you because you see, you need to see. You got a leper, comes to Jesus, skips the law for Jesus to touch that man. If Jesus just touches him, just touches him, he will be banished from people, his society. They'll throw him out with the lepers. If they don't stone him. Both are legal. According to their law in those days. But look what Jesus did in verse 3. The first thing he did was touch the man. He broke the law. I don't know why he did that. He's just God. He thinks he can get away with anything. He touched the man and said, I am willing. And then he spoke to him. This is an incurable, inoperable disease. I've been around it a lot. Through lots of different nations around the world. And when you get around it, it's awful. It stinks. You start to vomit. Just from the odor of it when it gets close to you. Jesus touched him and says, I am willing. You need
We need to prostrate ourselves and tell Him, please, help. And then I like that next word, instantly. That's quick. His leprosy was cured and he was cleansed. Let's keep reading. You want to? Verse 4. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell not, he didn't want the acclaim, the prominence. He wanted to give it to God. See that you tell nothing to about this to anyone. But go and show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to your healing as an evidence to the peoples. Then he stepped away from that man, and there was another one there. Verse 5. And Jesus went into Capernaum. A centurion came up to him. Do you know who these people are? These centurions? Very powerful people in the Roman army. Hundred men were under them. And very wealthy people. Mercenaries. Making lots of money. But what was he doing when he got to Jesus? This is important for you to understand. He was begging Jesus. So who is this centurion? He is not a Jew. He's a Roman. He don't have the right to the power of God yet. He's an unbeliever. He's an infidel. But what did he do? He did the same thing that the leprosy guy did. He had a different problem altogether. He's not even part of tribe or tribes. But he went to Jesus. Please, Lord. Begging him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant boy is lying at the house paralyzed and distressed with intense pains. Y'all know anybody like that? So do I. They need Jesus. They don't need a new type of herbal medicine. They don't need a new strain of natural healing. They don't need a new wonder drug or some nut that came from some exotic location. They need Jesus. I need Jesus. Look what Jesus said. It's simple. Verse 7. What Jesus said? Okay, I'll do it. This is pretty clear to me what he thinks about helping people. A leper comes. He touches him and heals him. A very wealthy, prominent man comes with a great need of one of his people in his home. Okay, I'll come. But what's now what happens next needs to be talked about in our modern churches. It's not being talked about. So we're going to talk about it today. I'm not going to talk about how to make you more comfortable. That's already been done. I'm not going to talk about whether we need to lower the air conditioner or raise the air conditioner. Change the color of the car. I don't give a flea. But this we do need to talk about.
Jesus said to him, I'll come, but the centurion replied, I'm not worthy. This is what you need to figure out. We're not worthy. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. Now, what happened next is where I want to hang out a second. I'm not fit or worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word. Now, this is one of those things that came 25, 30 years ago, come up. Just speak the word. You got people all over the place just speaking God's word out, which is an awesome thing, but then when it didn't happen for them, they went some other direction. The word of God does not lie. God cannot lie. 3 times it says it in the Bible. Impossible for God to lie. So who's wrong in the matter? That's right. But something happened here that we cannot overlook. Verse 9. For when I am also a man subject to authority and soldiers subject to me, I say, go, and one goes, and another come, and he comes, and this slave do this, and he does it. Then Jesus looked at him, and something happened. What was it?
He was impressed.
When was the last time you did an act that heaven stood up and said, who is that? When was the last time you was around somebody that did that? Who do you know that ever has done that? You're supposed to be on fire. You are supposed to be the one everybody's setting the standard by. Jesus marveled that. Is what I want to talk about. Have you ever done anything in your life that got heaven's attention and they marveled at you? I need you to do a breakthrough. I need you to allow faith to come into your heart, in your spirit. Let God arise in the Holy Ghost in you, and where you break out of status quo, where you are the leader. You're the one setting the standard. You are the one that Jesus is going, whoa, did y'all hear that? I cannot allow you to be okay. That's not good enough. We excel at everything we do. That's who we are. And that's what we're going to do today. Today is our day to prostrate ourselves to Jesus. Today is our day to make him. Today is our day for Jesus to look at us and go, whoa, I've never seen anything like that in all of Israel. And he wasn't even an Israelite. That's not the value. The value is impressing God. Going out of your way to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I got a chance to do this. And it is scary. We got to. About 5 years ago, 4 and a half, there was a barrage of evil that took place around us. And you don't think that it's going to stay or grow.
You think you love Jesus. You think you've got the spirit world dominated where you live. You believe that you really love Jesus and that He hears you. And that may be true, but it didn't stop the war for us. It grew, and I lost so far. 11 pastors have been killed in this deal. Friends, my boy, I raised up myself in the gospel. Awesome people, and they're dead. Several areas of our work, quite large areas, I'm exempted from going because I'm a widow. I'm a white guy. If I go in, I may get out, maybe. But whoever I went to, they'll kill everybody related to them. Not just the house I went to, but everybody that's related to them will die. So, how do you walk by faith in that kind of arena? How do you do that? I don't know. All right, I'm not here with the great answers. What I'm here to tell you is, I'm attempting to do it. And we're still alive so far. Lots of people have died, but the majority of us are still alive. We're still motivated. 4 years, I didn't go to a bunch of our churches, but just for that reason, because because I've got the courage, I'm going to warn you. But I'm easily provoked to do it. And I will. And I had to sit with these elders, and they had to communicate to me a lot to stop the war machine from hurting people. Because you can hurt a lot of people by proving that God sent you. So how do you live in faith and let the enemy dominate land that's yours? It takes patience to fight a war. You have to lose sometimes. And that's not okay. So years go by, and I haven't seen my people. And I'm sure you would have done a better job. I just haven't seen you there to show me how to do it. So, finally the day comes, the elder of that area, those four areas, this one area is quite scary. I cannot divulge any kind of name or any kind of geographical locations to you because people will die. I just cannot. But I want to tell you this story in detail so you can understand how I believe heaven wants to marvel at us. Heaven wants you on target. Heaven wants you walking in patience and godliness and meekness and long-suffering, but yet filled with courage and faith. And so they come to me and we have this meeting, and this elder stands up and he looks me right in the face and he says to me, so I looked behind me hoping there was somebody standing there. There wasn't. It was me. He said, "I want you to come." And I said, "I will not." We have been trained for the last 4.5 years
this, and this, and that. He said, it's time. I said, I'll get back to you. Because he wants you, you hate it because hell beat you and you're stopped. But then when the door opens again, it's amazing how much fear is built up. And for you to step through that door, it takes courage. I went and sat in my chair, and that's where she found me, this one. And she says to me, what's up? I said, nothing. She said, sure it's not. She said, tell me. I said, this area? Yep. They want me to go. She said, go. I said, what? I was expecting a little bit more fear than that. There isn't any sitting there. There's no fear there. There's faith and courage in the name of Jesus. She has the most loss in it. But she has the most gain in it. So which one are you viewing is the most important? I just looked at her. I was amazed that it was such a quick response. I've been sitting there thinking about it for several hours already. She thought about it like 5 seconds. And I looked at her. And I got straight up, walked into my office, sit down, and I opened up the calendar because I set my own schedule. And there was a hole in my schedule where this had been perfect. But I couldn't make my hand pick the pencil up. It's called fear. Because it's 100% death rate if I go there. There ain't no coming back. That is what hell says. But how did the centurion get Jesus to marvel at him? Isn't that the question? It's not what hell said. It's what motivated the centurion. Doubt and unbelief is always there. So I wrote it down on the calendar. And you don't know me. But when it gets on the calendar, it's done. There's no backing off or backing away. So I went and told her, okay, I put it on the calendar. She says, good. Good. What do you want for supper? That's a little bit too flippant. A little bit too... I'm all right with things. I said, I don't care. Because if you fix it for me, I know it's going to be awesome. Who cares? I was. So you start creeping. From the moment you put that down on that calendar, you're creeping towards that engagement. So that the amounting stress and fear grows. But I still haven't told anyone but her. So I held it quite a while. Well, actually to the point of, I probably went past the line, literally. And then finally I'm in a meeting and they say, what are we going to do on these days? I said, I looked at my son, Jody. Y'all know Jody. I looked at my son, Jody. I said, you're going with me and this other fellow y'all haven't met yet. I said, older guy, same age as I am. You're going with me. You two guys are going with me. Where are we going? I told them. And both of them just looked at me. And my son never in his whole life has caused me any trouble. He says, is this God? I said, as much as anything I've ever told you was. He said, then I'm going with you. But I wouldn't go with anyone else. I said, it isn't someone else asking you. It's me. He said, then so be it. I said, so be it. This is how you talk. There's nothing else to say. All these words you throw out there and all this stuff, it means nothing. It has no value. It heightens fear. It embellishes unbelief. Let it go. Jesus is King.
All right.
This only happened a few weeks ago, y'all. I mean, this is close. This is serious. We've got to get on our face with the Holy Ghost. We have got to come as the leper. We've got to come as the centurion. And then we must stand. Once Jesus comes, we must stand. And Jesus must look at us and go, whoa. Oh, yeah. That one is mine. So I went the day come and I let the people know, and they, because you can't tell everybody because the bad guys all show up with their automatic weapons and everybody get killed. So you cannot sponsor this thing. You have to depend on heaven's sponsorship. You hearing me or not? You understanding this or not? This is really quite serious. I wanted to talk to you about this. He's going to let me come. I think I should up the ante just a little. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking at my grandkids. The morning, it's time to leave. And I kissed them. Because they don't know. They don't know. I know. It's a high probability that if I miss God, I won't see him again. 100% probability. And I went over to this lady right here. I said, I love you. She said, I know that. Go preach the gospel. Yes, ma'am, I will. I mean, my heart is in my throat. I am afraid. I feel fear. And most of you sitting here think because of fear you have sinned. That's not sin. That is an emotion. But the moment you submit to fear instead of faith, then it becomes sin. You can disagree with me all day long. It's not going to change the facts of how it went and what happened. I am going to, your wires are going to melt clean out. The whole motherboard, we got to prostrate ourselves because we got to have a new download here. Heaven just came in and fixed everything. I got to this location where I was going to meet these people. And you can't go in. I drive, you saw my big truck probably sitting out in the front. You can't take that kind of equipment with you because that's the target. That is the target, the truck. And me, they'll just sell me or kill me just for fun, just for a few bullets. So you have to downgrade everything. We got the worst truck that we've got, the oldest beat up truck that might not even get there. That's the one we went in. But see, that's not how you think. You think the Beamer, the Caddy. You want the back. Well, that's what hell's looking for. And I'm right about this. So, you should have seen us. We parked our trucks at this place. We got this old beat up thing. Stinks. Drafty.
It's not what you want. It's not who you think you are. Really? Who are you? I am a servant of these people. I have become who I need to be to serve them. Do you hear me? They don't have to become like I am for me to serve them. I have become like they are to serve them. Things are twisted nowadays. And we've got to adjust that. And we do it prostrate. We do it by giving Jesus our leprosy. In all the authority and amassed wealth we've got as a centurion, we give it to him. And he marvels at us. This is right, y'all. Y'all, this so works. God, I chilled all over me because I was there. I was afraid. I couldn't only talk for my nose. I smelled the drip of blood. I smelled the adrenaline. I was so scared. And the guy driving the truck looks over at me. Because he's crazy. That's why I asked him to go with me. Because he's right. He's a soldier of the gospel like I am. And he looked at me. We're sitting there. He don't even have it in gear yet. He says, "You gonna do this?" I said, "Put it in gear." Because we're already in the zone. We're just not in the heart of the zone. I mean, the odds of us getting out of where we are are slim. I said, "Put the thing in gear, boy. Or move, I will." And we're driving this jalopy. I hate driving a jalopy. But I was safer in the jalopy than in the Mercedes Benz. We come riding up, and this man is at the designated location. And all he did was one hand motion. And turning left. You have to, the alertness of who you are and who God is in you and how you have to pay attention and what you have to do. This thing is not a sloppy, shod, run thing. This is an awesome army we're in. God is wonderful. He was so with us. I've got so much fear on me. I probably had all of it in the whole world. I don't know. It was a lot. I was carrying my share and somebody else's. I was trembling in fear. But my feet kept moving forward into feet of faith. The only way you're going to get God to marvel is to move in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want heaven, God, standing up and looking. Fix it. That's what I want. I want heaven marveling at the faith in God. I want all the angels rattling. Because they feel the God. See, I've gone long ways further than I was. It worked, man. I'm standing here alive because of mercy. One reason, and one reason only. Mercy. 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 It's wonderful. And I go, they made us park in one location. We were only designated one parking spot. I don't know who they talked to. I don't care who they talked to. I just know it was bad guys. You think of the most evil thing in your world that makes you the most afraid, and this was their boss. We go in there, and the look on their face, the astonishment that we were standing in, and they were just, They were freaked out as we were. We're going to all die. And they brought me in there and they started feeding me. There's no way I could eat everything they wanted me to eat. I kept eating. You have to. What was it? Some of it, I don't know what some of it was. Don't care. It's not relevant. That there, it don't even come up on the screen. I was so full I couldn't even hardly talk. Now I can't breathe because of the fear. Now I can't breathe because of the food. Is the truth okay with you? You need to hear this. What happened next is what you really need to hear. I went through all this protocol and all this stuff, and they put us in a corner where they're going to take all the first bullets and we get the next ones. And the guys came, the bad guys came. They came. They just marched in. These are some awesome looking bad guys now. I was thinking right off, if the Hulk was here, it'd be nice. Or Superman or something. So I guess I'm going to have to trust God since they're not here. Y'all, it was like 15 or 7, about 17 of those guys. I'm talking about tatted up. I can't tell you the name of the group, but they are bona fide bad and bum. They don't ever lie. What comes out of their mouth happens. And it's the most rude, ruthless, bizarre thinking. You've never probably met anybody like that. And I'm looking right at them. And every one of them sitting there armed, looking at us. Is this serious enough for you? I got up there and they told me to preach the gospel. The pastor, he says to me, preach. I said, I will not. He said, yes, you will. It's too late, Brother David. So, what's your decision? If you was going to run, you should have done that 5 days ago. If you were thinking about Miss Hogan or the grandkids, you should have done that 3 weeks ago. Hello? Should have never brought this stuff up. Should have never gone there. Stay away from it. If your God can't do it, don't start. You lie, don't you hide. But if he can, here's how you do it. One step at a time. And you just keep stepping toward the heart of the devil. And when you get there, I'm telling you, you can feel that. That hate, that rudeness, that crudeness, that evil, that murder. Oh, I told you. And I looked at my son. I was determined that he wasn't going to die first. I wasn't going to watch it. You hear me? That's the only thing I wasn't going to let happen. Wasn't going to let that happen. Everything else is too far gone. Well, you're quiet, aren't you? I'm talking to you what faith does. Faith puts you in situations sometimes that ain't no way out. God loves me so much, he'll put me in a situation and when there's no way, he'll blow a hole in it. He will make a way. That's what my God is. He will make a way. That don't mean you see it, but it will happen. It will just, I don't know where it comes from, but this one, here's how this one happened. Y'all, this is as serious as it ever gets. I got up there and I decided this is my last time to preach. I should make the angels happy. I should make them all happy about what they're doing serving God. I should go ahead and let this little rip, Taylor, Jim.
So I did. I let the flap side drag, Jack. I just put the thing down to the ground and looked at him and mashed a pedal. And when I got through, I set my thing down and just looked at the bad guy. I'm sitting there puffing, you know. It was cold and I was steam, you know, coming off of me. Oh. I mean, I'm fixing to die. Might as well give him a reason to pull the trigger. Let them be justified in their world. This is how it went. The leader of that bunch, I'm telling you, he walked up there. I can't tell you how afraid I was. He's a big old boy, bigger than me. Good looking, put together fella. I mean, me, he mean. And he said these words to me. Tú crees lo que predicastes. I said, wait a minute, I'm going to interpret that for you. He says, you believe what you was preaching. I said, here's my words. See. Now that is deep. I don't know what to say to you. I was too scared, man. Had you been there, you could have given me some great theological term to throw at it. It's some original Greek text or something. He said, tú tienes fuego. You've got fight. I said, sí. He said to me, what? This is the bad guy of the bad guys. You know what he said to me? Yo quiero este fuego. I want this fire. Come on, sir. See? Just stop here. Yes, it's okay. I said, but for that to happen, I'm going to have to touch you. He said, see. Now listen. Now we are there. Faith has brought me. In your world, it was presumption or you were stupid or whatever. But in my world, God is in charge. And we stepped into this environment knowing ahead of time the calculated risk. Nothing was hid from me. I knew what I was into. And I was okay with it. How could you be? How could I be? Because Jesus loves me. How could I be? Because God said, I will be with you and I will never forsake. And I reached up and I touched this fellow on the forehead. Let me tell you what God did. He went by me like a freight train. Come on. This fellow jumped up off the ground. He got hit by the... Listen, it looked like you hit him with a 50 caliber. I mean, he flew. It wasn't just a... Praise the Lord. No, this dude blew through the air and bounced. And I went, yes! Woo! And them other bad guys in the back, every one of them, they backed up. See? Listen to me. Now who's got fear? I had fear, but I didn't show fear. I showed faith. This is who you are. This is what soldiers do. Y'all should have seen that Holy Ghost touching people. One by one, them bad guys come up there, and all of them got saved. Yeah. All of them.
one by one. The closest, the more the numbers grew, and the more they were getting saved, the more God was slaughtering these people, taking evil off of them, and putting love in them. This is who we are. How we was watching this, I was just looking at my son. We're bug-eyed, you know. Whoa! We're watching miracle after miracle. One by one, they're putting them arms down and walking up to us. You got to understand what I just said to you. What that means, what that looks like. That's not easy. And the Christians that were there were on the ground weeping and calling out to the Holy Ghost. God settled on us in the camp of the enemy. Amen. This is who your God is. This is who you are in your God. All of you sitting here, this is your God. This is your God. He is awesome. He loves you. Golly, He loves your worst, most dreaded and feared enemy. God loves him. For you to sit home and curse them, and I disagree. How does that song go? We go to the enemy's camp. Let's see. And we took back what he stole from me. That's what I did. It's real. Real. We need to let heaven marvel at us. We need to do extraordinary things. Now, y'all analyze this. This will probably go out. I'll be accused and abused and twisted, and but you'll never be able to take it away from me that one day in my life, heaven stood up and said, "Help him." I want the Lord Jesus to look up at his dad and go, "That's my brother." Heaven is saying, "Send some of my best angels down. Touch them bad guys and send them up there and let that boy touch them. Let him lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Because he will. And then a couple of days later, I'm at another place. You know, and it's just, to me, because I got out of there, you see, I made it alive. And I was, can't believe how you can shout. When you think you're, because you go, the further you go away from this point, this bullseye place, the more percentage goes in your favor of being all right. And the more you think you're safe. You're not safe anywhere unless God says you are. You need to get that in your spirit. Without God's okay, you're not safe anywhere. Anywhere. So, you know, I'm a long ways away from the cancerous part. And I'm thinking I'm in a limb over here that's not so cancerous. And I'm up there, I'm fixing to preach, and up walks these guys. Sure enough, there they come tromping in. It was those bad guys that got smashed by the Holy Ghost. I said, "How'd y'all know where I was at?" They just laughed at me.
I said, what do you want? Because they don't go anywhere. They get what they want. One of them says to me, my baby is in the intensive care at the hospital, at this hospital. Almost came out. Hospital. I said, what do you want? This God you touched us with the other day, this fire, you told us it heals. I said, it heals. He said, my girl gave birth to a baby and a blood vessel burst in her brain. She's going to die. And he looked me right in the face and said, fix it. You know what my response is? See. What was Jesus' response to the leper? See. What was Jesus' response to the centurion? See. What is my response? See. I said, I'll go. You want to extend? No. We will pray here. I said, okay. That's because they know stuff I don't know. They're protecting me now. So I laid my hands on them. You know what heaven did? This is not my fault. I was a long ways away from this situation. The woman is in intensive care and the baby is in intensive care in the hospital. This man in a white robe walked in. Yeah. Touched the daughter. She was instantly healed. He walked into the prenatal thing. Touched the baby. Instantly healed. That afternoon, they're in a private room in observation. In the morning, they are released. A lot of other people did that. I went too far and I'm crazy and I'm lost things. Let me tell you one thing. I'm not crazy. I'm right. I told you in the beginning I'm right. I'll tell you now I'm right about this. You're the one who puts the line on the thing that says I can't cross that line. That's too far. Jesus said, go!
Right.
So, you see who I listen to, right? Well, men's every day, me's a little misery. Jesus has always been good to me.
Hallelujah.
I think I'm going to listen to it for a while. I'm telling y'all, mercy has come to my life. I can't tell you what it's like getting these people born again. They're starting to get saved, not by ones and twos, but dozens of them at the time. And these are bona fide bad guys now. They're walking into our meetings and just coming up and bawling and getting born again.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. Jesus is King.
Yeah.
I so want to tell you this. We need to get God to marvel at our faith. We need the Lord Jesus to stand back and go, whoa. I've not seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. Where is it? Where? You know the consequences and the danger. I bury them nearly, probably every 2 weeks. I need you to stand to your feet, please. I need you. But you don't have to tolerate me. I'm out of here. What you have to do is understand that Jesus is King. And when I look at you and say that, I got proof. I got lost in this. I got lost in me. Because what if we keep pushing and we keep making headway? What if we don't die? Think of that. Don't think of what if we do. Think of what if we don't. Could you imagine what we could get done? What if we don't die? What if we actually make it? What if heaven really is impressed? And it really is what he's looking for. Centurion faith. Yeah, I'm going to go there. If you think I won't, I go there clock. On this 4-month session I just did in our work in Mexico, I'll bet you 10 times I was in a 100% death trap. And God got me out every time. This is who he is. So it should be who I am. We can do this. This is right. It's not complicated. Jesus loves you, and he loves your enemies. I wanted to tell you that. I feel fortunate to have written another chapter in the courage world. And I can stand in front of you with honesty and integrity and look at you with the highest of honor, because I left some stuff out that's amazing. That's enough. But all these people, they're getting healed, they're getting saved, and they're bizarre, mean people. Every time we make a hit, they do. But I hope we can stay and keep hitting. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
So, some of you are lepers in here. You've allowed decisions, you've made bad decisions, some of you. And things have decayed around you, and it stinks. You don't know what to do or how to get out of it. I do. I know how to do this. You can come to Jesus. Yeah. We can lay on our face to him. We can ask him for mercy. He's not going to abandon you. It won't happen. And some of you are soldiers. You are good soldiers. You are in place. You are doing the war. You're doing the battle. You are there. But you can't let the wealth and the power and the prestige and the authority, all those things that are awesome, you can't let that distract you. You got to know what the source is, who the source is. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
You see me? Look at me. I went there. I don't have to go there anymore. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I want Mexico saved. And I'm good at my job. I've been trained by the best. His name is the Holy Ghost. And so, I want some people to join me in this episode that's coming next. Because it's going to take faith. It's going to take centurion faith. And it's going to take people that realize that they're just rotting and decaying and they need out. And we need to go to Jesus. And I need you to not think I'm singling anybody out. I'm not accusing you. I'm not. I'm asking you to help. Because you are well trained. You are a window. This area, y'all have been blessed for years. And I know it. You know it. Now let's burn hell to the ground. What you say? Huh? Let's bulldoze the field to heaven right on top. I'm going to do that. much time you got left?
I don't know, and I don't care. You gotta look at me. I don't care. I honestly, Miss Hogan and I have had an amazing, time. In our marriage, our kids, our ministry time. But we talk about it all the time. All we gotta do is worship Jesus. There's no one can take anything from us if we'll worship God. It's about worship. Pray. People ask me, how much do you worship today? All day. All the way up here today, one hour was like almost 5 hours. I was driving. And all we did was listen to the Bible. All the way. Praying in tongues. Got in the room. He was very nice to me. I wanted to sit. He didn't know what I was going to do. I wanted to sit there and listen to Blessed Assurance over and over and over and over and over, and over, and over again. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I just wanted to hear it sung to me. What a friend I have in Jesus. And he left. Thank you. It makes my life go round and round when that happens. Now this is what I want to ask. I want to ask you if you want to step into this with me, because this is a new day. What I've experienced is a power that few have ever experienced. I want raw energy on you.
Yeah.
I want you just bewildered with mercy. I know what that feels like. I drove out of Mexico a few days ago, and the border guards asked me, how was it? I said, for us, it was awesome. I listened to the Bible all the way out. I spoke in tongues for 8 hours. He said, that's what it's going to take. I said, I know it. That's why I do it. He said, you're one of them, aren't you? I said, I am. He said, welcome. I said, thank you very much. Isn't that awesome? This is a good thing. Heaven wants to touch you with a new, fresh anointing. I don't know if that's a little catchphrases to tell you. I just know that if he will touch one of them bad guys the way he did, he'll certainly touch you. Because you ain't got an AK strapped around your neck. You've got Jesus strapped around your neck. Shakatana. So, I want to pray with you. If you're sick in your body, I'll do my best to touch you. I'll agree with you. Me or one of the prayer team will. Somebody will. You want a fresh touch in your life? Come get it. You want a fresh, this thing is so real. I don't know how to say it to you. You can see on me that what I'm telling you has got me. It's got a hold on me. And I'm going to see about letting it stay hold of me. So if that's what you're wanting, you want to be part of this next move, come up here. In the name of Jesus. Just come up here and make a couple of lines and we'll do something. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost in fire. See. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You looking for this kind of faith? I found it. You'll here he is, walk straight through it. They said, I can assure you. Now, I don't know what your schedules are. We've had a brand new barrage of miracles, dead raising, some bizarre stuff. And I don't want to tell you about it, but I want to tell you this first. So, if he lets me keep going, I can assure you, you're going to be blessed. Heaven is so touching us. I mean, angels are all over us. They're all over us. They're just setting stuff up everywhere. On our behalf. It's awesome. I went to my smallest churches in the most out-of-the-way places with the fewest people. And I did it on purpose. Church, it's only got six people. It's a brand new little work we got. They're scared, everybody's persecuting. And I'm standing there. And the wife of the house will come out. I don't know how many times. Just looking at me. She'd go back in her little kitchen. She'd come back out. Finally, the husband walks over. He says, you know why she's doing that? I said, I don't know why. But it's making me nervous. Said because she didn't think you'd come to our home. Because see, we're successful, you see. You understand? So there's a way of life for success that don't include the little guy. Isn't that right? But what if you could stay humble? What if you could actually try to walk like Jesus walked? What happened? This is the wife would not help the husband go get the food and everything because it's always a team. Because she said, Brother David will not come here. We're only this many people. He won't come. And the husband said, how many times has he ever lied to us? We've been knowing him for years. Everybody. And then the daughter comes running out of her room. She said, y'all got to go. We got to do this. The mom goes, what? Yeah, the man came through the room glowing and said to me, go tell your mom. We got him on the trail. He's coming. We will see to it that he gets here. These are angels of God. This is bizarre. This is what's going on. This is who we are. Do you get it? Can you not see it? It's who we are. We are sons of God. We can do this. So I need you to let Jesus touch you. I need you to let yourself become prostrate to the King of Kings. There is enough room for us to all do it right here laying on the ground. That's not my point. Point is, spiritually, submit yourself to the King. Grab the shoelace, the heel. No matter what, don't let go. Shinakadena. Thank you. Rain, the last rain, little brother. Let me put this piece of equipment down.
You provide the fire. We'll provide a sacrifice. You'll provide the spirit. We will open inside. You'll provide the fire. We'll provide the sacrifice. You'll provide the spirit. We will open up its heart. Fill me up.